Daniel Lanois has helped transform the sound of Peter Gabriel, Willie Nelson, Emmylou Harris, U2, and Bob Dylan. As a record producer, he's known for his atmospheric, often moody arrangements. But Daniel Lanois considers himself above all a musician, and he's just released his first solo recording in 10 years. It's called Shine. Lanois writes in the liner notes, "Here is a small portion of what's cooking in the kitchen."
I guess it's just something natural about the kitchen. You're close to your food, close to your phone. That's where the friends hang out. It seems to be where the songs are born, if you're in your house. And oftentimes they sound great in kitchens.
So you would actually not just write them there, but record them there.
I just have a policy. If you're sitting in a chair and things are sounding good, then don't move the person, just move the microphones closer to the person.
Where are some of the places that the songs were recorded on this album? If they weren't in the kitchen, where were you?
The opening song, I Love You, was pretty much born in Mexico. I was down there for a long time, and I found a little blacksmith shop in Mexico, and I went in and I found dozens of beautiful handmade bells, and I banged on them and found all the ones that made up an entire sort of octave. So it was kind of like became my xylophone, and you can hear them in the distance. The bells ring at 7 o'clock in the evening in Mexico and all the villages, and I just wanted to get that bell on the record somewhere.
Yeah, they're way in the back, and then in a layer much closer in, it seems like, there are all sorts of other things going on. Drums?
Yes, there's a drum loop of Brian Blade. It's a 16-bar drum loop, and it's ongoingly changing and escalating, you know, with processing. So what might otherwise be something static has a great sort of organic life.
A man carried metal, carried gold, more than he could handle, more than he could hold.
Now here, Emmylou Harris is drifting in, way in the back.
I love you.
Emmylou Harris, yes, she came by my house just for a quick visit. She had a cold. She says, "I'm not singing." I said, "Well, just could you lay a little something down, just as a guideline, so I have something to work with." And she sang on it, and of course, that's the ultimate vocal as well.
The song, As Tears Roll By, let's listen to some of that. I had to listen to this several times, and I'm still not sure what I'm hearing in those first few notes.
Well, the opening sound that you hear is a sample from a Charlie Patton record. It was actually meant to be used on Bob Dylan's Time Out of Mind record. It's an old recording. I think it might even be from the 20s. Jing, 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 jing.
I've been working downtown inside my troubles. I've been working downtown inside my troubles. I've been sleeping under the bridge of Highway 1. And I don't know who my savior is.
You make it sound like it's one big flea market almost, and you have all these things at your disposal. You can just sort of go around picking them out.
Well, the laboratory part of my world is very alive, and when I hit on something that I think is unique and great, I just sort of label it and stockpile it with a view of putting in a production sometime.
Is there one tool or device that you have in your sort of producer's bag of tricks that you could absolutely not live without?
I suppose I couldn't live without my fundamentals, like my microphone preamps, my microphones, my compressors, all old school stuff, you know. But those are the ingredients, really, that give you your vocal sounds. So to this day, I like using the RCA 77, the Elvis Presley microphone, or the Nat King Cole mic. You see it in the old photographs of the 50s. It looks like a Contax C capsule with a bunch of little holes in it.
Uh-huh.
It has a little moving part in it. It's got a little kind of typewriter ribbon in it. And as you speak in it, the ribbon moves around. So it's a bit like the stylus in a rubbing up against a piece of vinyl in the same philosophy.
And what sound does that create?
It gives you more of this kind of sound, you know, more, hi, how's everybody doing out there tonight? That kind of thing.
When you're creating this space with things sort of sounds way in the distance and others very close up, what is the sound that you're trying to put together there?
I've always enjoyed depth of field on records, if we can think of it in a photographic way for a minute. I like things to sound like they're far back in the room, and then other things to be more in the foreground as your focus or nucleus.
Every chip from every cup, every promise given up, every reason's not enough, is falling at your feet.
It's what I love about old rock and roll records, and they managed to get that because that's how they were placed in the room. Little Richard would be right up front with the mic, and the sax player would be 5 feet back, and the drums would be in the corner, and you get this wonderful sense of depth.
Every teenager with acne, every face that's spoiled by beauty, every adult tamed by duty, are all falling at your feet.
So I like to have that on records. Sometimes I do it like Little Richard, where I just have a bunch of people in a room and you automatically get the depth. Other times I create it artificially.
What do you think it does for listeners when they're hearing your songs that are layered in this way?
I believe when you have that kind of depth, it keeps the listener interested for a long time. So on repeat listening, you make further little discoveries along the way.
Well, Daniel Lanois, thanks so much for talking with us.
Well, you're very kind to accommodate me and be supporting my records. So in the name of music, thank you.
Daniel Lanois, his new CD is called Shine.